Well, good morning.
Morning.
And what a great day it's been so far. Beautiful song Steve picked out. Great time with the Lord's Supper as we remembered our Lord's death on the cross, the blood He shed. And even though we have several that are out, still the audience is pretty full, so that feels really good as the preacher, even though a number of our members are at the marriage retreat. A couple of weeks ago, myself and a few others went caving. And it was the first time that I had ever been on a caving adventure. And it was an awesome day. We have some bumps and bruises, a couple of scrapes, but all in all, it was just a wonderful day. It was myself and three other brothers in Christ, and we just had a great afternoon. And it's out of that experience from last weekend that I bring this sermon this morning. Because during the caving adventure, I was reminded of several life lessons, and I want to share those with you. Maybe you will think, well, I think he's a little crazy with that one, or yeah, that's a really good one. Maybe it's just a reminder, or maybe it's something you've not heard of. And so the whole point of the lesson is to just share with you and to give these to you, to do it as you see fit. The first one, and I think we all agreed on this one, is I was reminded, and really all these are reminders for me. The first one is I was reminded of how truly amazing our God's creation is. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare your glory, and the firmament proclaims your handiwork." Now I understand that's talking about the sky and we were in a cave, but nonetheless, the principle is absolutely 100% applicable. Also, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 33, verse 6 through 9, "The Lord made the heavens and everything in them by His word. He scooped up the ocean and stored the water. Everyone in this world should worship and honor the Lord. As soon as He spoke, the world was created. At His command, the earth was formed." When we were inside that cave, we saw some of the most beautiful formations. Sometimes we would just stop and we would just stare and we would shine our lights up and just see the crystallizations and the holes made by the water. And we would see the streams of water coming through there. And at times, it was just tiny little spaces where we were crawling on our backs. Other times, we were literally crawling, digging in for dear life, going up sides of little mountains that seemed like gigantic hills. But really, for me, the most beautiful part, and it wasn't because the adventure was over, that's not it. But it's when we got to the end, and what we decided to do is go in the short end first, and come around, so we would come out at the big opening. And we just stopped. There was the water flowing through. And there was these different rock formations. Some were black. Some were cement-like colored. And the opening of the cave. And you could see this mist that was just floating up. And outside the entrance was this just beautiful vegetation. And it was literally breathtaking. So I was reminded, and we all four of us were, just incredible how amazing our God's creation is. Now there's another side of it too that I brought up. I said it's so sad that there are a lot of people in this world that labor And when I say labor, I mean they labor under the illusion, the disillusion, I don't know the right word, that this was all just some big cosmic accident. And we're just little bugs scrambling around with no future and no hope. And how miserable. We wonder why people's lives are so miserable that they go in and blow people up and shoot up theaters and kill little kindergartners. We wonder why. Because there's no God in this creation, then what's the point? But I was reminded of just how amazing our God's creation is. And I highly recommend, now some of you say, well, that's all fine and well, Brad, but I can't go out to a cave. My body won't let me do that. Just go out on your back porch one morning and have yourself your coffee out there. And watch the sunrise. Or maybe after dinner one night as the sun is setting, just take a walk through your neighborhood. Or maybe just take a drive in your car and go down to one of the local lakes and just sit and just watch. I was telling the guys, probably one of my favorite spots in all of the world was up in Alaska. We'd take the youth. And it was like the last hurrah. And we would hike up this mountain. It was called Flat Top Mountain. Wasn't too crazy hard. But you'd get up there and the top literally was, it was as flat as you could land an airplane up there, at least a C-130. It was so flat. And then you could look out and you could see the whales. If you went at the right time, you could see the whales down in the inlet. You could see this island. It was called Sleeping Lady. And the sun really didn't set at that time of year in the summer. And it just reminded us, and I was reminded in that cave, this creation reminds me of how amazing and incredible our God is. That was Paul's entire point in Romans chapter 1, that through creation we can be reminded of our God's power and His infinite strength and His infinite might. And His complete power that just causes us to be nothing. The second thing I was reminded of, that even way down into the depths, and we weren't even in, I don't think this cave went too deep, but even way down in the depths of that cave, God was still with us. It reminded me totally, I love this Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's another word, the Jewish word for hell, or way down in the grave, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Our ocean is pretty big. He says, even if I could go out into the furthest part of the ocean, where there's absolutely the most remotest part, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. At one point, I said, guys, let's do this, you know, the experiment we always do. Everybody, let's turn off our lights. And so me and the two Jonathans and Heath, we all turned our lights off and it was totally dark. Now, as a side note, we did learn that, which pocket is it in? We did learn that these Listerine strips do glow in the dark, by the way. But otherwise, it's completely dark. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide you from me. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Even way down in that cave, You go over to Mammoth Cave, which is the longest cave system in the world. Some say all these caves may be even interconnected. You go down as far as you can go, and God is there. Now there's two sides of this. For the sinner, you cannot get away from God. No matter where you go. Remember as kids, as you would be scared during the night, you'd take the covers and you'd pull them over your head, you'd hide like the boogeyman couldn't find you? Sinners will do that. I distinctly remember doing something along those lines. Late at night, scared, hoping, God, please don't come back tonight. And kind of hiding under the covers. But for the sinner, you can't get away from God. Way down in a cave, way up on top of Mount Everest, way down in the ocean. You can't go away from Him. But now as the Christian, it's the total opposite, awesome feeling. No matter where I'm at. I'm in a cave with my brethren. I'm climbing a mountain. I'm in the deepest part of the ocean. My God is right there with me, holding my hand. Now that does not mean that harm will not come to me. You could see the scratches on my leg to testify to that. The half-broken ankle of Heath to testify to that. The only one that went through unscathed was our ninja warrior, Jonathan, back here. Not Jonathan that's not here, the Jonathan that is here. The other one was making fun of the rest of us, and that's when he planted hardly on the ground. But for the Christian, our God is with us no matter where we are. And what great comfort, what great solace that brings to us to know that He's got my hand is in His, and He is protecting me, and He's watching over me, and He's got my back. And then number three, and I think this was the one that hit home to me the most, that Christian fellowship never ceases to amaze me. All it was four Christian guys that went into a cave. A couple of us had light thingies on our heads. A couple were carrying flashlights. I had more stuff in my backpack than MacGyver himself. But it was just four guys in a cave just being goofy. Nothing special. No big hoopla. Not a Super Bowl party. Not New Year's in Times Square. Just four guys hanging out. And yet it was so powerful. And so amazing. God knew what He was talking about when He set the church up. He knew what He was doing because He knew that we would need each other. God knew what He was doing when He set the church family up because He knew that not only would we need each other, but we would be there to help each other. And there's several aspects of Christian fellowship that I'd like to bring up. The fact that we just get to know each other better when we're hanging out. And let me say, Christian fellowship comes in many different forms and fashions. We're having it this morning, right now. We had it in the, if you'll allow me to use the term, the intermission between Bible class and worship. Sometimes the Galloways will have a potluck out on their farm. That's a time of Christian fellowship. Mike, some of the families will get together, and Mike and Terry, and they'll play cards together. They'll come over to our house. Russ, I mean. I keep saying Mike. Why do I always confuse his name? Sorry. Don't tell him I mixed his name up again. Well, it's recorded anyway, so it's irrelevant. But just getting together playing cards. Or maybe you just get together to hang out and watch a football game or a basketball game. But Christian fellowship can come in all kinds of different forms and fashions. Maybe the ladies just all several get together and go have tea. Or maybe like on Sunday night, sometimes a couple of us families will go to Dairy Queen. But it could come in many forms and fashions. And here's some of the great things about it. You get to know each other better. You get to know that your sister works with, my sister works with Jonathan's dad. I don't know why I didn't know this, but the whole time I've lived here, which we're going into year 3, I had no idea until like last week that they worked together. And she's even told me, I think, and I just forgot. You get to know each other better, know the things that make each other click. What makes you happy? What makes you sad? It turns out that when we were in Bible college, got to know a family that became our best friends, all because I said to him, hey, would you like to go to the amusement park with me and Katie? We've got free tickets. You only have to pay for one. And our families became best friends. And you get to know each other. Isn't it a lot better to get to know each other than to be complete strangers when you're together? I think so. You get to strengthen each other. I'll tell you what. Many Saturdays, I've just laid at home. It's like yesterday, I had subbed for the PE teacher at the elementary school. And those kids flat wore me out. And I mean, I was just laid out yesterday all day long. And I missed the Saturday before because we got to strengthen each other. For the rest of that day, for the rest of Sunday, I mean, you heard us. We were talking about it and we were kidding about it. And I lived on the strength of that fellowship for the rest of the whole week. And I needed it Friday because the kids wore me out. I already mentioned this, we're able to help each other. We had one family tell us their situation. And apparently some of the ladies have just drawn to that mom and helped her so much. That from her own words. We have another brother that said, I need your help. And folks have clung to him. And said, anything you need, I'll be there. If you need help with this or that or whatever. And I already mentioned there's any number of ways that we can get together. And the other thing about Christian fellowship before we move on to point number 4 is it's good to not be alone, especially when you're in trouble. I love this verse because boy howdy did we need it, me and Heath, on Saturday. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, for if they fall, which I was the first one to fall, and then he was the second one to fall, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. We help lift each other up. I would have been in a lot of trouble had it not been for Jonathan Jasper, because we got to this one part because we were going the backwards way, if you will, and I could not get up this hill. But luckily, I had gone and gotten some rope. And he said, well, you throw me the rope, and then I'll throw it down, and then you can use it to climb up. What if I'd been all alone? I might still be down there in that cave. And as Christians, how awesome it is that we can be there for each other and help one another. This, if I had a soapbox, this one would be it. That we tend to not want others to think there's anything going on in our lives in the negative ways. And so we hide things from one another. It's like the opposite of when we go to the doctor. When we go to the doctor's office, we want to tell him or her everything that's wrong. But when we come to fellowship, we don't want to tell us anything that's going on in the negative. We want everyone to think that everything is fine. And I dare say that every person in here probably has something they're struggling with right now. And we could help with that. And number four, it's good to stretch yourself and leave your comfort zone. I'd never been caving. I stretched myself. I'm going to make this point really short. Stretch yourself as a Christian. Maybe you've never led singing. Go for it. Maybe you're disastrous. I think I'm one of the worst song leaders ever. I can lead about 10 songs, and that's about it. Beyond that, you'd think I sounded like a wounded goat. Maybe you've never taught class. Go for it. Teach class. Maybe you've never gone door knocking in your neighborhood. Go for it. Grab some cards that talk about the church and just go knock doors in your neighborhood or something. Invite your friends and family. Stretch yourself. Because guess what? You will not grow if you don't stretch yourself. And then finally, number five. You have to surrender to that cave. What's he talking about? We were at one spot where, I don't know, there was about that much space. You were not going to duck walk. You were not going to walk. You had to get down and crawl on your back. You had to surrender. There were a few times when you had to crawl up a hill. You weren't just going to walk up, you know, like it was a flight of stairs. You had to surrender to that cave. And there was the other side of surrender. You had, if you totally gave in, you'd never make it out. If I had to sum up, now what's this got to do with anything? If me personally, if I had to sum up Christianity in one word, it would be surrender. Surrender. You got to surrender to the blood of Jesus to make you clean. You've got to surrender to Jesus to lead the way to heaven. You don't know how to get there. You've got to surrender to His way of obeying the gospel and having your sins washed away in baptism. You have to surrender to His way that He has set up and said, you'll worship me properly this way. If I had to sum up Christianity in one word, it would be surrender. And that's why, frankly, I don't know what the percentage is, but a vast majority do not obey the gospel, do not become Christians because they're not willing to surrender. They're too proud. For years, that's why I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I know somebody right now, that's why they're not, they know, they're literally right there on the precipice, but they're not willing to surrender. To surrender self. But here's the crazy thing about it. If you forget everything else, I want you to listen to it. Here, get this, and then the lesson will be yours. The devil makes it sound like it's just awful, and you, no, don't you surrender, and he fights you with it, and he tells you all these lies, and just bombards you. And the funny thing, the sad thing, I don't know, the awesome thing,
is if you stop fighting it. I've seen it in my own self and in others. Their hands gripping the back of that pew, their knuckles turning white like it's going to, I can't let go or I'm going to go forward. Let go. Because all those lies the devil's trying to get you to believe, it's going to be the opposite. The day I finally let go and I surrendered and I went up there, the greatest day of my life. Better than when the kids were born. Better than when I got married. Was the day I finally surrendered. You may not have surrendered. Do it today. You may have surrendered, but then you took some stuff back. And you said, no, I'm not going to surrender to you anymore, Jesus. Re-surrender. And the results, mind-blowing. How awesome it'll be. If there's anything we can do to help you at all, please let us know while Steve leads us in our song of encouragement.